Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Access Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Penny, who is here to talk with us about potatoes in the garden. Welcome, Penny.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us.
So we had a potato harvest last week, and then we had actually another one today. And it was exciting news for us because we actually have not in the past been successful at raising potatoes, so this was a first.
Yeah, and I love how you encapsulate that in about three sentences, and yet there's so much to it. when you were talking about it recently, Andrew, about the potatoes, I just thought, that's one of those things. It's sort of like cantaloupe, but we say, oh, yeah, and now 1,000 kids are eating. And all things that have gone on,
Jen,
behind that. Yes.
Jen, you're breaking up a little bit from what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
okay.
You're breaking
right.
up too. I'm getting your gist, though.
Okay. All right. Tell me when it's better. No, not
yes,
better.
I can hear you now.
I can hear you now.
Okay. All right. I will not move a muscle. So, at any rate, what I was saying is I love how you encapsulate that. In those very simple sentences, and there's so much behind it, which is why I thought it would be so fun to talk about it on Good News, because there's so much both on the content and the process level about it, it feels like.
Yeah, I guess one of the most fun things for me about it was, we talk about ideas dropping in, that we don't really think things up, that ideas drop in, and that's how this happened. We've tried growing potatoes in the past, and it's kind of a frustrating thing for a gardener because, a lot of people say, if you have a garden, you want to start with things like potatoes because they're so easy to grow. But that has not been our experience. And so we had tried a number of methods, and they didn't work. And, excuse me, I have a cat here who wants to be fed. I'm going to close her out. They didn't work. So one day we had created these boxes. Just as a quick primer, when you grow potatoes, you do a process called hilling them. You build up the soil around them as they grow so that, from the place where the potato is planted, the plant grows through several layers of hilling until it's quite a bit above where the potato is planted, and that allows all those potatoes to form around the roots. And it just had never worked. So we had these little frames that we had made years ago to try to provide new layers for the potatoes to grow, and they hadn't worked. And one day I was walking into the garden, and it dropped in. Well, why don't you try doing it this way? And so we did it this way. It was just a different method, but using those same old frames. And, Lord, the potatoes grew, and they flowered, and they died off, as the plant does, and then all of a sudden we had potatoes. So it was a great practice experience on a lot of levels. One is just trusting that it will drop in. And also, you often cite the comment about from Thomas Edison about we now know 100 ways it won't work.
Yes.
So we had that experience. We know lots of ways it doesn't work. And then this way apparently it did work. Will it work next year? Who knows? But this year, it worked, and it's just felt like a little miracle to dig into dirt, and all of a sudden, by God, there are the potatoes.
And Penny, what's so funny, I had no idea that potatoes were, quote, easy to grow. I didn't know that part of the story. So that makes it even better, because what I love about that is, so that could really be a, well, geez, then what are we doing wrong? Why, if it's so easy, then, but just that place of, okay, well, that's interesting. That's your experience or so-and-so. I mean, it could be, quote, everyone's experience, but all that's relevant is my experience of this.
That's right.
And staying with my experience.
Yeah. And our experience was that method one didn't work, method two didn't work. But mm-hmm. It was also helpful that we kind of kept the equipment. And
exactly.
It feels like sometimes, you pile up some tools, and they don't work, but then when you just get the insight to put them together in a different way, the tools are there. And so I'm also appreciative that we never kind of tossed out those little frames that we're going to use. In fact, we'll make some more. now for next year, and and they were available.
So
there was also some kind of message from life or the universe to just hang on. Don't go to, well, this didn't work, so let's just trash it. Let's just assume that it didn't work this time and set it aside, and who knows?
Exactly.
And that's, you know, my experience of the garden all the time is it's all an experiment all the time. And some things work and some don't, and you just sort of work with it over time, and it, you know, it sort of tells you what to do eventually.
Exactly. It's really like a dance, isn't it? It's just that,
I can barely hear
you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
I can barely hear you.
Oh, gee, that's disappointing. Standing in exactly the spot I was for the morning show, and it was working great then.
I can hear you fine, Jen.
You can? Okay. Well, we'll see. But at any rate, I was just thinking that the way you describe it, it's such a dance, right? You know, just allowing ourselves to be informed by the garden, and then this idea drops in, and we try this, and then the potatoes say, yes, that was it. And they go for it. Yeah, so fun.
I think I heard what you said, and you try things and you hang on to them, and then at some point they come together. And I also have to say, there's just something so satisfying about pulling something out of the garden that's going to be eaten. You know, that the garden provides the nourishment that feeds people at the monastery. That's just to me, one of the most satisfying moments of all, and potatoes are so wonderfully substantial. And to watch those things come out of the ground and know they're going to be going into wonderful dishes that are going to be prepared in the kitchen, it just feels every time like a miracle. Not only the harvest, but the transfer of nourishment from the garden to the folks.
Yep, and we already have. We had delicious hash brown potatoes the other day.
So I really absolutely can hear that you're speaking, but I can't understand what you're saying. I can't hear what you're saying.
It was very profound, so. Okay, one more thing, Penny. Just a few minutes. Just tell me if it starts to get. Okay. Well. Any better now?
Slightly.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else you wanted to add, Penny, since I can't be heard?
No. Just thanks for the opportunity to share excitement. I think for the people who harvested, too, it was a kind of a wonderful moment to reach to pull that dirt aside and actually discover the potatoes down there. I think it was not just my excitement. I think it was really great for the folks who did the harvesting of those boxes. There were three different people involved in the harvesting over the last few weeks, and I think they all had a very satisfying experience.
And it reminds me, can you hear me right now, Penny? No.
Okay, bye.
Okay,
can
Penny.
You
hear? Sorry. You and Sherry, then.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Penny. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. just to get it on the record, I was able to hear everybody, but I was dropped off the call four times just during open air. So I don't know whether it's where we all live up here that we're just baking and all the equipment is baking. I don't know. But we'll just see how we do, huh?
Wow, yes. And did you hear some of the conversation?
I would just dial back in and get right back on, and then I'd be gone again. But yes, I did hear about the potatoes. I'm very excited. Made me hungry for a snack. I want to, I haven't had the pleasure. I'd heard about the potatoes, but I haven't had the pleasure of tasting any of them yet. But it is thrilling. It really is. That whole thing that Penny laid out, you know, us getting so excited about growing potatoes originally, because it's really true. What a hardy thing, you know, vegetable to be able to have as part of our whole menu. Then we can, you know, we can grow these ourselves because it's so easy. And then, you know, we build the box, we do all this, and we can't grow potatoes. And as Jeff said, you know, it could take you to a, what is wrong with us that we can't? And then all of a sudden, and the thing that we didn't get a chance to find out that I want to find out from Penny is, what dropped in? Because she said it just dropped in, do this. And I was so, I mean, of course, we all love that moment of it just drops in, and then you do it, and it works. I mean, that makes a believer out of a person. And then on top of all of that, you get potatoes. Very exciting.
Yes. Yes. The persistence and the willingness to keep showing up, you know, independent of the result, mm-hmm. was very inspiring to me. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So we didn't get potatoes this year. Okay. Well, there's always next year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
Great. Great. And I have an announcement here.
All right.
The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat offers foundational work in going beyond self-hate that is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Retreats are coming up in August and in October. Participants in the Mornings with the Mentor group coaching program will create recordings with the mentor to support intentions for the day and for life. Don't miss the opportunity to spend time each morning with someone who loves you unconditionally. The 4-week coaching program starts August 7th. Bring conscious, compassionate awareness to your Saturday tasks or any project you choose at an at-home working meditation retreat on August 24th. The day includes exercises, facilitated virtual discussions, mindful eating, and designated work periods. And also in August, a 6-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training will teach 6 key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative. The new class is on Thursdays, beginning August 29th.
And so that's, Michael, that's the same, I think it's the same course that people can either take individually or they can take it with a group of people, right?
Yes. Sounds like it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. That's fun.
The Family Karma Retreat in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania is not an exploration of childhood trauma or family dynamics from a content perspective, but an investigation of the ego, of the story of me. Through this exploration, we will be able to see the many ways that story is still dominating us today, and we'll practice the tools that enable us to transcend ego's control. This retreat, September 2nd through 7th, includes yoga, meditation, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And okay. right before that retreat.
Right before,
on Sunday, September 1st, Sherry will be leading a workshop in York, Pennsylvania. And for details and for other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Yeah, I think the thing in York is kind of a public talk at a Unitarian church, I think is what it is. And I think we're going to do a little event before that on the going beyond fear. So
you are breaking up a little bit for me, Sherry.
Well, of course.
I heard. And of course, I can hear you now.
Yeah, that's just how our technology goes. Anyway, we're doing an event in the afternoon for the Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitation retreat, and then we're going to be doing a public talk that evening at the Unitarian Church. If anybody's back there,
great.
Come and see us.
Great. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And, yes, okay, and for today's show, we have a couple of reminders, which is if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, please press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic and about 5 minutes in length is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Kevin from Chicago.
Well, hello,
hey, Kevin.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing. All right. I'm being for sure. But I wanted to call in tonight because I've been hit with waves of conditioning regarding a past relationship that has been over for several months. And I, sort of at the end of the relationship, I was busy with professional things. And as soon as those ended, waves of emotion and information I received secondhand from friends kind of came leaking in and just started to make me feel a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've stuck...
None of them good?
I mean, I think it's all good because I know that, you know, feeling terrible at times is not really healthy or beneficial. So I've been leaning on my recordings to kind of find ways to give myself a little space.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of at a point where I've conditioning has got me kind of cornered at the moment. It's been interesting to see. Been really hard to stand it, in it, and
mm-hmm.
kind of observe all of this. And there's
mm-hmm.
been, I really experienced waves of sadness. And I had an incredible, through all of this, I had an incredible moment with my mother a couple of weeks ago where we were vacationing, and I just grabbed my mother in a face full of tears and the most amazing hug I could ever receive from another human being, from my mother, and we just held each other tightly, and I just allowed myself to really just grieve, which was amazing and gorgeous
mm-hmm.
and just what we both needed.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm finding that pressure, that overall general sensation of feeling like there's pressure and that it's becoming challenging to find relief.
Uh-huh. And what is the pressure, Kevin?
The pressure is that, you know, I'm sad. You will always be sad. And if sadness
uh-huh.
is good, then it's okay that you feel sad. But then, you know, the duality is you shouldn't feel sad. That person, that other human being isn't feeling sad because they're getting on. They have to be getting on with their lives because all of these other things are seemingly coming together for them. So
mm-hmm.
so it's that duality that I'm just caught.
Uh-huh, being jerked back and forth.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing that something as straightforward as we're not having that conversation is doesn't feel available. In other words, well, because, you know, there you feel sad, okay? And I'm guessing that you feel sad sometimes.
Correct. Not all the time, by no means, but the sadness seems to come and it's very intense. And it seems to last or hover around in my mental space, physically, in the sensations. It's just, you know, it feels like weight in my chest, in my shoulders. And then the duality is like, well, where's the light? We need the light.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah. Did I lose you?
We may have lost Sherry temporarily.
Ah.
Hold on a sec here.
There I am.
There you are.
Okay, Kevin, where I lost you, I had just asked you, you're not sad all the time, and then there was the world's longest pause. And I thought, oh, boy. Yeah, and then I realized the call had dropped. So.
Well, I was filling that silence for sure. the sadness comes and goes, of course, but it's very intense. The sensations are just kind of really weighted on my shoulders and chest, and it's kind of the duality is this, you're sad, you shouldn't be sad, where's the light, you know? So I'm caught between both of those things, but the sadness obviously can't last.
Right. That was where I was headed with this, because when it hits you, when that loss and grief hits you, you feel really sad.
Yes.
And which is okay. Right? Cuz you're really sad, and that's a natural response to a big loss in our lives. So where it gets dicey is then when ego wants to come in and tell you how you should be experiencing this loss.
Correct.
Right? That either it's okay for you to be sad, but you shouldn't be sad all the time, or you shouldn't be that sad, or you shouldn't be sad under those. And that's the one that I would suggest. It is possible for you to say, we are not having that conversation.
Yeah.
You don't get to have an opinion about how I grieve. It's my grief, my loss, my life. You don't get to have an opinion. And within that, not to allow yourself to be goaded with questions like, where's the light?
Yeah. Okay.
And it really is possible for us to say that, just like we could say it to another human being. We're not having that conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not entertaining that any longer. That's over. We've done that. Moving on.
Okay.
And then you get to have your experience, not your experience, and then your experience in reaction to this parasite.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
And who knows? Yeah, you're welcome. And who knows how long it's going to last? You know?
Yeah.
Who knows? We never know. Nobody ever knows. And in my experience, I don't know about you with other losses you've had in your life, but, you know, I can move through a loss, and, you know, the the responses get farther and farther apart. You know, the things that trigger me or the memories that come up or that, you know, that stab in the heart, those get farther and farther apart. And then all of a sudden something will hit me just out of the blue. And it's such a shock because I'm not having that experience regularly any longer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there was a time where there wasn't much, and then all of a sudden,
yeah.
I feel like I'm just in this intense hurricane of things happening. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Take good care of him.
I will. I will.
All
good
right.
show.
Good night.
Thank you, Michael.
Got show.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Kevin. Sherry, what dropped in is, as you were speaking with Kevin, is learning to distinguish between what are the voices that are destroying my life and what comes from that still small voice and becoming clear about what those are. Oops.
Ah.
Oops, there you are, Sherry. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I think Kevin didn't get muted, and I did get muted. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes to what you just said. That's huge. Yeah. And that kind of process really assists us in that discernment. Right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's what we're learning in practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's painful. You know, when we suffer a loss like that, it's really painful. And the idea, I mean, it's just so, ego is just not a pleasant thing. To take advantage of somebody's loss in order to inflict suffering, that's just ugly. And again, to realize that we actually don't have to take it.
We don't. Yeah. Yeah. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, this is Eleanor in Georgia. Hi.
Hello, Eleanor.
Hi, Eleanor.
Hey, and you know, in hot, humid Georgia, we just had rain today, so I'm kind of just enjoying that a lot.
Eleanor, Eleanor, you know I'm weather obsessive. And so what was the temperature?
It only got up to 90 today, but the humidity's on up there toward 92, so... You know, I know how you feel about 90, but I know y'all are breaking the temperature record, right?
Well, no. Actually, we're not as hot as the rest of the country at this point. So,
well, good, because I might get to come out and enjoy some of that heat, dry heat.
Well, you come out, we'll make sure the weather is good.
Yeah, whatever that is, it'll be great. Sure. Oh, yeah, right. I'd like that. All right, so what happened to me today, and I'm so happy to get in the queue and get on the call, is a bunch of sadness just came through me. It's great that you just talked to the last caller, really different content, of course, but I woke up in the night crying and concerned my dog, who 3 months ago was bounding around like a puppy, but he is 10, has taken a steep downturn in the last couple of months, and he's kind of lost a lot of his vision and his energy. So I'm dealing with it, you know, finding out, talking to vets and helping him around and, you know, and realizing that he's really okay. He can still smell and eat. So, you know, it's, vision's not so bad for him. But what's hit me today and last night was tears of sadness. And fortunately, I had time today to be with myself. And what was following that was that I was overreacting. So it was that same thing of not being allowed to just be whatever it was. It was like, why are you crying? You know, he's just getting old and he's got a problem, but he's okay. But then I realized that it was, you know, it's a little it's shocking and sad to watch. You know, it's aging. We're all doing it, you know? But that doesn't help when ego tells me that it's not can't be emotional at all. So
whatever. It's not helpful at all. And the thing about it that it's really hard for us to get. It really is. Ego will never experience any of those things. Ego knows nothing about any of it. Knows nothing about love, knows nothing about aging, knows nothing about caring, knows nothing about any of it. It's not real. It's just a conversation in the head.
And fortunately, that kept coming into me that it was okay. Whatever was okay. And then I moved the energy is my secret. And so I got out and I was able to be in the woods and walk, which is always helpful. But what comes up, as you said that, for me that happened today also was, because it's gratitude day, right, on the daily focus.
Yeah.
And it came up how grateful I am to be, to love so much. And I love dogs. You know, I love dogs. And if this is what happens, when you just really love something, then, you know, it happens. Sometimes there's challenge, whatever we want to call it, but it's just part of it, I think.
Well, and just in life, right?
Right.
Everything changes form. And exactly. And the result of love is loss. It just is.
Yeah, and as I don't let ego start coming in and telling me it's a problem, then it just
That's right.
is.
Then you just love like crazy, and then when the time comes, part of that love is grieving like crazy.
And you know, that starts because every day is different with everything. So it's a little, I didn't want to stop and noodle about sadness, but could it be that there's always change? I mean, there's always little bits of grieving and sadness, always, I think, mixed in. That's the other side of love and enjoyment is that. It's kind of one.
That's exactly where I was going to. That's beautifully stated. It's all one. When we're identified with the dualistic world of ego, then it's one or the other.
Yes.
But
right.
It's not. It's all one thing.
Yeah. And when I stopped and let myself be, I could feel that great. It was like heart opening. It was like, oh, I am so grateful to love, you know, to be here in this life and to love like this. So, it was after me there for a little while, and to bring it into the duality, that it's something wrong. There's something really, really wrong.
Right. And you know, Eleanor, when you say that like that, we can see that what conditioning wants to do to us is stop us from loving. Because it's so painful. It's so painful. Why would you want to love like that if it's going to hurt like that? But the thing is, if we're lucky, and in most situations we are, we love a lot longer than the pain lasts.
I see what you're saying, that it could shut down the joy in life. And you know what? There's been a lot going on in my life lately that's tried to shut down the enjoyment. So, this is just, I think, a real gift, actually, today to see it
like this, and then to be able to see how that's going on in the rest of your life as well.
I think so. I think the softening and the kindness and appreciation for this human was for a lot of things, you know, that are going on, obviously, for everything. So, there's the gratitude, that's for sure.
Right.
Oh, me.
Yeah. And again, it's not either or, is it? I can be grateful.
Yeah.
I can be, just my heart is full of love, and I can be incredibly sad, and all of those things can be happening right at the same time.
Okay, that is the experience.
Which, that's our experience.
In presence, that is absolutely what life is about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well, thank you.
Right. Well, thank you. Go happy, huh?
Yeah, go happy.
All right. Good night.
And enjoy those potatoes.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I got to have a part in those. I think not, but I'm excited for that.
I'm going to talk to the cook. Make sure I get a taste of those potatoes, by golly.
Yes. You should do that. Oh, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Eleanor. Sherry, I appreciate that perspective of seeing the grief and the love as all one thing, all one process. And I saw a quote recently that said, grief is what heals you. And it just struck me. It feels like it's along the lines of what you're talking about with Eleanor, is that process is the love.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Oh, that's so good, isn't it? That it is the healing process. It's not.
Yes.
It's not making the loss worse or adding to our sadness. It is the healing process.
Yeah, that's
very helpful.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Lori. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, Lori.
Hi. Okay, I'm here in group, and so trying to get everybody. Yeah, I appreciate the conversation, because I also am experiencing loss and grief and really struggling with intensity about it. And then the challenge of being able, you know, what you were talking about, Sherry, is just to say, I'm not going to get into that conversation. I'm just not going to get into the conversation. And sometimes it seems that the conversation is just constant. And so it just feels like a real, it's hard. I'm really hurting. And so that's going on. Yeah.
And so, Lori, with the process of grieving, this is going to sound like a silly question, but what makes it hard?
What makes it hard is just all around pain. Like, you know, the pain in my heart is just hurts. And then, it's just, you know, these episodes of crying, it's not very enjoyable. And then what gets generated is something really wrong. And so that makes it real, that's the hardest part, I think. When the emotion moves through, it's like, okay, the emotion is moving through. But then when the stories take hold about, it's particularly about that there's something, you know, that I've done wrong.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There
are two aspects. And that's kind of what I was curious about, teasing apart the actual, there's a pain in my heart, there's the heaviness, the weight of it, as the emotion, as the feeling of it moves through the body, right?
Yeah.
And if we can just, you know, lie down on the floor and sob, or, you know, whatever would be the expression of that to help it release and to help it move through, that's one process, right? And it can actually feel good, right, in the sense that it's a relief, because the emotion does eventually get spent, right? And that energy moves through and there's a certain relaxation that follows. But then when the story comes in that there's either something wrong with you that you're having this experience, or there's something that you have done that, you know, which is a big one for ego, right? There's more that you could have done. You did something wrong, something you shouldn't have done. All of those kinds of stories that are just to make you feel bad, which is different from the grieving. Right? Because that process, it goes on all the time. Right? The trying to make you feel bad about something.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely does. And you know, one of the big stories is this isn't what I want. You know, that whole thing about this is not the life that I thought I was having or that I was going to have or whatever. You know, it's like, oh, no, what happened? So it is. I mean, every single thought story about it is designed to create incredible suffering. And you know, it just seems like such a practice of vigilance around turn the attention and I will say, you know, especially I think when I'm listening on the radio show, there's just so many times that it's like I can disidentify because I remember, well, this is not all that there is in life, you know, and hearing people talk about experience and hearing you talk, and then I can, or be with a friend, and there can be the movement into something that feels more like what was just talked about, you know, like love. It's just sometimes I also, it's just like, I don't know if I can keep on doing it. You know, it's so painful. All a jumble of all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And almost more opportunity than it feels like we can handle.
Too big a workshop.
Thank you very much.
And
again, separating those out, because with the grieving, with that letting the emotion wash through, as Michael was saying, you know, recognizing that as the healing process, to feel all of that and let it be there and then let it go. Feel it and let it be there and then let it go. That's a natural process, we could say. This other stuff is just garden variety, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, taking advantage of an opportunity to really do it to somebody. And that's the place where we have to be vigilant, right? To just say, no, you are not doing that to her. Nope, that is not going to happen. No. And have those earbuds. I know, broken record here, but have those earbuds. Have every kind of recording that you need to take care of her. Nothing is, you've not done anything wrong. There's nothing to feel bad about. No, we're not, you can't do that to her.
And I absolutely. I mean, I have many, many recordings that I'm listening to, and that's another way that I can just really focus the attention. The invitation to experience the healing is really that so helpful because, instead of get over it, it's just to acknowledge. Okay, this is a process, this is grief, and this is how the healing can happen. You know, I haven't thought
that's
of
right.
it quite that way.
If we want to use kind of a gross image, you know, you've got a big cut there on your arm, and every time it starts to heal, you get the scab off of it because you want it to get finished healing, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, that... that's not going to work. And that's what ego, it's the same process that ego tries to do to it. Well, you should be over this now. Why are you still feeling that? Why you should be and to just be able to I'm going to do this for as long as it lasts.
As long as it lasts. Instead of, I mean, that whole, the image of the wound, it really is like pouring acid on it, you know, pouring salt on it, something like that. It's just so horrifying. It's so painful and horrifying. Yeah.
And so there you are. You know, you have this person you know, this however you want to think of her, and she's having a hard, hard time. And this is the time for you to make her life as easy as it can possibly be. You just take care of everything for her, do everything for her, protect her, nurture her, spoil her, whatever image works for you. Get a satin pillow and carry her around on it so that nothing else can touch her.
Yeah, that's good. That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, I appreciate so much, Sherry and Michael, what you're offering here, and also the previous callers, and just remember that, well, this is, you know, being human and loving is loving has many ways of expressing, and to remember that and practice that. Yeah, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Lori. Take good care, huh?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Indeed. I will.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And I'm always so inspired, Sherry, by all the callers and the courage and the depth at which people look at everything. It's quite inspiring to me.
Courageous souls.
Courageous souls. And Sherry, we are going to take a break now to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. I think I muted you a little too quickly there before the break.
That's okay. That's all right.
Huh?
Better than not muting me at all, Michael. If we
Computers are funny here. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gail in Flagstaff.
Hello, Gail.
Gail.
Hi. I'm so excited to be on the air. I missed the morning show this morning by having a really good time.
Aha. You were having such a good time?
Yeah,
and then I look show?
Up, it's 9:35. It's like, oh, no.
Aha. Uh-huh. It's kind of a shock, isn't it? I did that the other day. Every Wednesday, I have a Zoom conference call that I do in the afternoon or that I participate in. And it was Wednesday, and it was Wednesday afternoon, and just like you, something happened, and it was like 2:30 or 2:45, and I went, oh, my gosh. It never crossed my mind that it was Wednesday, that it was the afternoon, that it was the time for it. Nothing.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Son of a gun.
So I thought, it's Tuesday. I could catch Open Air because I normally am busy on Tuesdays. So I don't do that usually in the evenings. And it was like, and then I just dialed in. I'm late. You know, it only came online at like 5:25, and then you picked up on me. I mean, I just got here.
See there? Hey, Michael's watching these things. He knows. He knows when people just, you know, he knows these things. So what's going on?
So I'm having a wonderful time with the Making a Change for Good workshop. I'm seeing just so much. It's been wonderful. And I had a huge thing drop in this morning. I got in. My husband loves politics, and he loves to share politics with me. You know, it's like he saves stuff up and says, you got to see this, you know, and I hate it. I just hate
hate it.
Uh-huh. As much as he loves it, you hate it. Uh-huh.
Right. And, you know, and I do it because he loves it, you know, and then sometimes it's good because he edits real closely, you know, but he never really knows. And whatever he showed me last night pissed me off, you know, and I was riled up and I was all angry and I thought, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket and blah, blah, blah. And I woke up this morning and was talking to him more about it, and I realized finally what's going on with that for me, which is that I'm in my happy place. You know, I work all the time doing practice, being in the happy place, you know, and I know that conditioned mind grabs me and drags me off, and then I try to come back to the happy place all the time. And mm-hmm. in politics, it's like when people are doing that, they, like, want to play in their unhappy place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I show up and want to be in a happy place, I just had that happen to me the other day at a social gathering where two people, I joined somebody, I'm all happy, and they wanted to play unhappy place, you know, because they wanted to talk about the border situation or something, you know. And they basically said, you know, you play our game or go away. And I was like, I just want to share my happy place with people.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I love about the morning show with mm-hmm. Making a Change for Me, because people are actively trying to find and share their happy place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just was looking at this issue in the new communication book because there was an exchange where somebody was talking about wanting to play and constantly being in situations where other people don't want to play, and then feeling bad and feeling rejected mm-hmm. when that happens. And I said, well, you know, do you feel like you're sensitive to other people's energy? You know, if people don't want to play, then probably trying to play with them is not a good idea, right? Because they're not going to like it. They're going to resist mm-hmm. it. And yep. and not only will it not produce the happy result you want, it can produce unhappy results, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm wondering what it would be like to be with people and you stay in a happy place regardless of what they're doing.
Ooh, that's a good challenge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I immediately go into other stuff. Oh, I try to make them happy. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other
mm-hmm.
piece of that. Mm-hmm. Well, they're unhappy.
If you agree here, probably they're not experiencing themselves as unhappy.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're serious. They're talking about the issues of the day. They're all really concerned about X, Y, Z, as if this conversation is going to help anything. And they're like, you know, they're grim.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just, you know, oblivious and, you know,
uh-huh.
other things. Yeah, so to stay in one's happy place while they're doing it, that's tremendously difficult because I go into that helpful.
Right. And so what occurs to me about it with something like that is, would it be possible? Because now, here's my projection. They are where they are because they care.
Yes.
Right? And so if we take that beyond that, it's painful for them that
yes.
there are things happening in the world that are painful. And
yes,
and so they're in a place where they're in distress because they care, and I would imagine also I would project feel kind of helpless because what can you do about it, about what's going on in the world? The world is a very big place, and there are a lot of people doing a lot of things, and so how does one little person, and so to find other people who are like-minded, who also care, feels better than feeling like, oh, my God, am I the only person out here who cares about this situation or cares about people or whatever it is that's going on. And so for you to be in a place that actually assists somebody to see that one can care and not suffer.
Yes.
Yeah? Because I project that's what you're going for. I mean, you listen to your husband talk about this stuff because you love him. You hate the stuff he's talking about, but you love him, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so to be with these people in a way that lets them know that you also care, you also love, and you're not willing to add more suffering to the world in order to love and care.
Ah, exactly. It's the how thing again.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, because instead I get sucked into that helpless feeling, and I hate the helpless feeling. You know, like when someone was saying, what's the problem with, when you're talking about the grief part, you know, well, what's really so hard about it? The hard part is I don't like it.
Right.
I don't.
Well, that's what's hard about everything, huh? Yeah.
No, I don't like feeling helpless. I don't like, you know, having people be in distress in front of me and not be able to help them. I don't like, you know, feeling helpless about not being able to do anything. So, yeah, and they're feeling helpless. So we're all reflecting this helpless. We're jumping into the helpless pool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, but I don't want to go there. But I didn't make the connection about not willing to suffer and doing what I need to do to not go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and possibly, you know, being a support for them. Because we're deeply conditioned that all those things go together. You know, if there's an injustice, if somebody is being made to suffer, if there's cruelty, harmfulness, then the decent person thing to do is feel bad.
Yes.
Right? And so, of course, I happen to think that's a big part of how it all gets perpetuated. Because then it's the friend of mine who said, we must all be poor until we are all wealthy. And, of course, he was kidding. But that's the mentality. You know, we must all feel bad and suffer until there's no more feeling bad and suffering. But somebody's got to start the momentum in the other direction. So if people want to be involved and engaged, there are lots of ways to be involved and engaged and to bring a sense of optimism and hope and joy and feeling good to the engagement seems to me to be a tremendous contribution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess what stymies me is that I don't feel I'm skillful enough to know how to do that, or I get sucked into whatever they're doing, or there's this, you're an idiot, you don't know what's going on, go away, because I want to play my unhappy game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is what it feels like.
Yes, well, if you begin to relate to people from a place of, I care about you, first of all, I want to hear you, I want to be present to you, and I don't agree, you might not add this verbally, but I don't agree that it's necessary to be unhappy because I care.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in fact, if you ever felt moved, you might say, well, you know what, let's why don't we get together and do something and do it as a way of bringing joy to our lives, to feel good about what we're doing, to make a contribution that we can really feel good about. And then we can invite other people to make a contribution also and feel good about their contribution.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll join.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Thank you, Gail.
Well, thank you. It was fun talking to you again.
All right. Great talking with you. Take good care.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Gail. And Sherry, in the interest of time, I'm going to bring on the next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara here in Australia.
Well,
hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good today. Yeah.
Well, good.
Good to
and
be.
And that's all we've got, right?
That's all we've got. I'm very grateful for it. I've been I've just been in one of those sort of in and out of the dark room places the last couple of weeks, and been really good listening to the previous callers.
It's that feeling of we're not alone, right?
Yeah, and just being able to relate and, right. And one of the things that dropped in while I was listening was just about that experience, because I haven't sort of been in that, you know, in really in the grips of that kind of very negative conversation for quite some time. And I'm not in it today. The last couple of days I've been out of it. And I was just thinking, you know, the plus side of the of when it's really full on like that is that you can, you know, I really got to see that it's not real, you know. It's so clear when that, because, you know, nothing changes and then I'm not in it. It's just so clear to see that it's conversation.
Oh, what a great point. Just stop right there. Let's go over that about six times, okay? That is the best thing to see, isn't it? Nothing is any different, and I'm having a completely different experience. It's not the content. Yeah. Wow.
And it's not like I want to sort of, like, I think, you know, I'm living on my own again, and my fear was that, you know, I was going to start getting into some dark places again, and that has happened a bit. There's a part of me that's like, I don't sort of want to think that I'm keep on setting up this situation where I'm just up against the wall, really, to get me to see stuff. Like, but the truth is that when it is, like I said, like when it is intense like that, I see stuff clearly, like in a way that's different when it's more subtle. You know, when that conversation's more subtle, it's in the background, I can, you know, life's going kind of okay, so it's like I can kind of, you know, not bother about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or pretend it's not really happening.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's not that bad. So why? It's kind of like, you know, I've got a dripping faucet, right? But it's not that bad. It's really just kind of drips once in a while, and so why fix it, right? And then suddenly the pipe bursts and I've got water everywhere. And now I have to deal with it. I could have dealt with it when it was just a little drip, right?
Yeah.
But I get talked into, oh, it's not that bad. You know, apparently the medical people are really familiar with this, that's a thing with human beings, right? It's not that bad. It's not that bad. And so people wait until a physical condition gets so bad that there's almost nothing can be done for them. Whereas if they had addressed it way back then, it would have been a simple fix.
Yeah.
So I think what you're catching on to is really important. And I agree that we keep getting into these places until we see it. And it's not a mistake. It's not that we're doing anything wrong. It's that it's really important that we see this for what it is if we're ever going to end suffering.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the sort of the turnaround point just with this last kind of period in the dark room was sort of really getting it, that nobody's going to save me, you know, really getting it, that it's up to me, and I'm the only one that can really, you know, relieve my suffering. It's my responsibility.
Well,
on a different...
And you're the,
on,
go ahead.
Just getting that, you know, on a deeper level, I think.
And that you're the only one who knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Which takes us back to that insight that you mentioned a few minutes ago, where you're going along, excuse me, and you're in the dark room, and then nothing in your life changes, and you're not in the dark room. Well, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
Right? How did that happen? It's not like you, you know, went on vacation to the Riviera, and then suddenly all your problems, or you met the person of your dreams and who happens to be wealthy and is wild about you, and so all of your problems, nothing happens. My life is exactly the same as it was yesterday, and I am a completely different person. Who is that person? That's the person we want to pursue, right? This is the person we want to get to know. What does that feel like? Right? Because what that feels like is what we want to learn to turn attention to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think part of what sort of was the coming out process for me was I'd reached out to somebody and I had a conversation with somebody about, you know, what was going on, but I heard myself, like, basically I was just telling the sad story, you know. I was in it. I was believing it. I wasn't speaking from a place of separation from it. But part of me obviously is separate from it, and I saw it. It's like, you're just telling the same old sad story. So how do you expect you're going to feel any different if you keep doing that?
Oh, my God, and Barbara.
It was just a moment of, like, snap out of it.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. I mean, because that's it. How are you ever going to have a different experience if you keep telling the same sad story? Because that's how it works, right? How do I stay in the dark room? Well, I tell and listen to the dark room story.
Yeah.
That's how that happens.
Tell it to people and then wonder why they don't want to come and play with me.
Right.
So.
When you don't either.
So anyway, it's been a workshop.
That's a lot of good stuff, isn't it? And again, back to what you were saying, and what other people on the call have been talking about. Yes, it's a difficult workshop, and as soon as it's over, we realize, I don't ever want to have another one of those workshops, and thank God I had that workshop, because I am a different person now, and this is the person I want to be. And, of course, the odds are very good we're going to need another one of those workshops, because the fix isn't permanent, right? So we keep doing it until we realize that this is not a bad thing that this is happening to me. This is reinforcing the clarity that I need to have in order to live in the liberation that is possible for me. So it's one of those, let's just keep going till we get there. I'm in.
Yeah. Listening to the morning show and hearing about the I Love You recording, I pulled out my I Love You recording and... that's been my commitment for the year-long retreat, to be listening to that first thing in the morning. I've been listening to it all night, and And also seeing with that, you know, ego wants to check in to see, did it make a difference? Did it make a difference? And
right.
Seeing, you know, that's just, that's not, that I'm just, you know, it's like meditating. You just do it and
that's right.
Show up.
Because it's never going to make a difference for ego, right? Ego checks in with, I love you. And now I don't feel moved. And well, no, it won't, because it's ego, and it has nothing to do with love. But the human being relates.
Yeah, it's very soothing.
She wants to hear it. Yeah, that's right. She wants to hear it. She knows it's true. She knows that's what she is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to get
well,
on.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's a lot of good stuff. That's really inspiring. All right. Well, you go happy, okay?
You go happy too. Thanks. Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And thank you, everyone. Sherry was another.
Thank you, everyone. Michael, thank you, everyone. That was a good. That was a good deal, wasn't it?
It was great.
A lot of wonderful people. Wonderful human beings.
And a wonderful practice.
And a wonderful practice, yes, that we all share. All right. Well, thank you again, sir. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Go happy.
All right. Good night. Go happy.
Good night. Good night.